session number 22634, reel 3.
Eva Klein, reel 3. Yes, you were saying about your hiding in the barn.
We were hiding in the barn for 2 days or two nights when we started walking again to find something to eat, somewhere to go, when we were captured by the German troops. They were the Volkssturms, one of the group. And first they took us to like a jail for a little while, and then they found some kind of transport, horse-drawn farm thing, and another day or two we were taken to Stockerau, the name of the place was Stockerau, and put us in a cattle cart, but it was an open one this time, to Theresienstadt. We ended up in Theresienstadt. And we were there a few weeks in one place. Mm-hmm. It was just towards the end. It was April when we got there. And we were in one huge, huge place which was called the Dresden. It was a Dresden barrack. It's a caserne. We were there until we were liberated on the 8th of May, 1945. And even then we didn't really believe it was the end of the war. They said it was, but we were still in this place. We couldn't go anywhere, we couldn't go out at all, we couldn't even go to the yard.
Who liberated you?
The Russians.
Did you know anything about the Russians, or was there any sort of image of them at that time?
No, not a lot, but I remember when, first of all, the night on the 8th, when the Germans retreated and you could see them aimlessly wandering, and suddenly I heard somebody singing the Marseillaise or Internazionale. It was a Hungarian opera singer. It was frightening because we didn't really believe that it's happening, which it did, and I looked through the window and suddenly one of the Germans shot through the window just above my head into the ceiling. A bullet went through, so I escaped. But next morning we tried to act like free people. We opened the door and we heard that the Russians are here already, and one guy came to the corridor shouting, "All the girls inside, all lock the door, all the women lock the door." You know, the Russian soldiers for so many years without any entertainment, they were trying to get the women. But even so, they liberated us, so.
Were there any rapes, do you know?
No.
At that time?
No, we didn't hear anything about it, not at all.
But you were protected by the men?
Yes, we were protected by this guy who most probably he was aware of what was going on or what could have happened. But we didn't hear anything about rape or indecent, so nothing. No, we just heard what we heard.
Were you given rations, you know, food, at that stage?
It was about 2 days before. It must have been my birthday because I was born on the 6th. We had some Red Cross parcel. I can't remember what was in it, but it was something in a tin and we couldn't open it. Probably it was milk, condensed milk or something. You know, that's what I remember before. It was just before the big finale.
Were you given food after liberation there?
Probably we had some more to eat. I don't know. We always had something to eat. Barley soup. You know, we grew up on barley soup.
Were you very hungry during the war? You know, did you?
I was never a big eater, and I didn't care much about food. The only thing I cared about heat. I was always cold, and I said if I ever had the opportunity, heat
rather than food.
Oh, any time, even now.
So what sort of state were you all in at the end of the war? You know, your mother, for instance, who was quite, you know, getting on and had done all this hard work. What sort of physical state was she in?
Not only physical, like mentally, but waiting for her sons to come back. And the physical didn't matter. He couldn't really believe that they will never come back, and her sisters and brothers. Physically, he carried on. He didn't mind doing whatever it came, but mentally, he.
So
he never believed that. That they will never come.
Your mother?
My mother.
No. And when did you know that they wouldn't come? Did you get any
confirmation? When we got back to Hungary after a while, some people came to look for my eldest brother, whom they met in Mauthausen and Gunskirchen, and they couldn't imagine why he is not home yet. He had typhoid, and I think he died the last day of the war, or when they were liberated. But Zoltan, the other brother, he was in the Russian camps. As they said, he disappeared. He disappeared with the other few hundred thousands. And my nephew was exactly the same age, 15 months old, when his father had to leave for good, when he was taken to concentration camps. Yes.
So it was just you and your
My
artist
mother.
Brother who were left, the woodcutter, the one who did the woodcuts. Yes.
Yes. We survived. My mother, my brother Miklós, his wife, and myself in Theresienstadt. And her parents, but as soon as they were brought back to Hungary, they died. Two days later, my sister-in-law's parents. The other sister-in-law, Gabor's mother and her sister with the two kids, they came back from Vienna before us, and they already settled in Debrecen, and my brother never heard any more about it.
What was it like, you know, living in post-war Hungary at that time? How about your house? Did you reclaim your house?
No, we couldn't. We couldn't get into the house. My brother and his wife, they managed to get into her parents' apartment, because her parents died within a week or so when they were taken back very, very ill from Theresienstadt. And the other sister-in-law and her sisters came back, and they already had an apartment in Hungary. Well, we joined them with my mother, and we lived there for a few weeks. And then somebody said to my mother, look, my in-laws are dead. I came back on my own, so here is a room, and come and live with us. And we spent some time there, and we started life, sort of, with the Russians.
Yes.
The next chapter.
Yes, I was going to say, did you, were you aware of communism after the war? Did you know anything about Russia?
Not as such, because you know, when you are 14, 15, those days, it wasn't like now the children are teaching the parents and grandparents, and we were just children, and, you know, a few rebels, so I don't know, but it wasn't like it is now. You know, we tried to stand on our feet. I tried to carry on with schooling. I couldn't get into one because they said my mother was rich, or I don't know. My brother was teaching in one. I couldn't get there because he was there already, so I tried things, I don't know, day to day, to work something. It wasn't like you are sold and you go out to work. When you are a child, you are a child. It doesn't matter whether you are 10 or 14, those days. And I said, okay, I have to learn something. I don't know what. It was the ORT. You heard about the ORT? It was like a trading camp. It was a Jewish thing, it was.
How do you spell that?
ORT. I think it's Organization of Trading or Rehabilitation Trading or so. It does exist in England as well.
It's a Jewish organization.
It was, as far as I knew, it was in Hungary. So I did apply there to do a course there, to do some sewing, like nightgowns and underwear or something like that. Just to do something. And in the meantime, I went to music school. I did. And in the school, we had a newspaper, weekly or monthly, I don't know, and it was nobody to type it because the secretary was too busy to do it. So somebody had to do. So with a friend of mine, we went to learn typing and stenography to carry on with the typing and the work. So I managed to get quite a good speed in typing, so I'm really glad for this. And in the meantime, my mother managed to get back the house, and she sold it for, don't know how much. She gave some money to my nephew, his mother, you know, my sister-in-law for the nephew, and she bought a typewriter for me. So it was the fortune what she had for the house. So I had my typewriter, and we carried on with the monthly paper. And
this art organization, what were they doing for you, you know, in terms of training?
They had different courses. They did, I think, photography. I can't remember how many and what, but I went to this sewing business because I thought it would be quite useful. And I tried to get some job as a seamstress, but it was no good because I wasn't any good. I don't know, they did some shirts, 16 a day. It took me 16 days to make one, so it wasn't a big job for me. And when I had my pay, it was the time when the Greeks and some Greek trouble was in 1945 or something, and they wanted to deduct from my wages. I had a few peanuts, and they said, how much do I offer to the Greeks? I said, how much did they give me when I was deported? This was the only time, I think, when I opened my mouth.
Yes. Was there much sort of imposition of communism at this time? Were they beginning?
Not immediately after the war. No, people were trying to leave the country and to start life somewhere else because it wasn't very easy. You know, towards the west.
Did you try to leave? You know, did you have it, your family, any plans of leaving?
No, we were waiting for my brothers to come back. A friend of mine heard that I was going to go to Israel, and her mother approached me. She said, don't leave my daughter here. If you go, take her with you. She left next week or sometime. And I remained in Hungary. And I met my future husband.
When did you leave Hungary? What date was that?
56.
56, yes. What was life, you know, when the communists really took control? What was life like for you then? Under communism?
Before I got married, I was still going to school, to music school, and I spent my time there. It was nice. For me, it wasn't communist or not communist. You know, we had some sort of freedom. I didn't join the party, and I didn't have to join the party, you know, the Communist Party. But we lived our lives. We knew who was who and who came back and how. And
Did you have to be very careful, though, about your behaviour and what you said?
I don't know. I wasn't really aware because our little clique, you know, our little group, we were occupied with music. We didn't...
You weren't political?
Not at all. Not at all.
But was life, did life become more regimented? You know, were there more rules and regulations?
I suppose so, but it didn't, to me it didn't really matter. You know, we were sort of, we enjoyed the relative freedom what we had, so.
And you met your husband, Laszlo?
Yeah, I met him in 48 or 49, I think. And he lived in Budapest. I was still living in Debrecen. But I was there for a concert, and I had a few hours to kill. And I met him on the street somewhere with a friend of his, and I knew his friend who introduced me to him. And what are you doing? I said, look, I got an hour to kill, so let's sit down and have a cup of coffee. So we did, and we started talking, of course, where have you been, what have you done, how did you escape, what happened to you during the war, because it was the main subject. It was between us, it was, you know, it was a regular conversation. And when you started talking, it was no end. And my husband was in Bor, Yugoslavia, and he had plenty to tell about his experiences. So we started talking, then I went back to Hungary, then we started writing to each other because it was the normal thing to do then, you know. And he came to visit me, and gradually we agreed to get married, and we married in 1950.
So did you have a family by, you know, the time the revolution occurred in 56? Did you have children?
No, I had miscarriages and I haven't got any children. No, I can say thank God. I got my nephew, he lives in New York, he's got two great children, and now they have two little babies. They were a year old in December. We were there when they were born, the little addition.
Were you involved at all with the revolution in 1956? Did that impact?
Not at all. Actually, I was pregnant then in 1956. And I was in hospital because it was something to do with the pregnancy when the revolution started. And
were you living in Budapest then?
Yes, in 1950 I lived there. We lived there, yes. And then my husband with his brother came to visit me in hospital, saying that, you know, it's already so and so, and we could leave the country. And I said, look, I can't go to the toilet. How can I go? It was October 56 when it started. It quieted down a little bit for a few days, but in November, a third of November, again full blast while I was still in hospital, but they managed to get me out of the hospital. And It was terrible. I didn't go out at all, but it was really, it was a terrible time.
What was
the
terrible?
Tanks, the tanks, the killings. The, of course, again, the Jews were afraid to be victims of the whole business, because the first to blame the Jews for whatever is going to happen. So,
were you in a fighting area, your house?
Not really. Not far from there. Not far from there. It was like from here to the station, maybe nearer. Or my mother-in-law lived, because from hospital I went to stay with her, really, because somebody stayed in our apartment hiding. And when they left Hungary, we could go back to our home. I started feeling a little bit better, and they again started talking about leaving the country. So my nephew said, he was already 15 this time, he had enough, he's going with his cousin. Two of them left already Hungary. And we started talking about it. So I said I was pregnant, I didn't know what to do. And the gynecologist said, look, you are a lot stronger being pregnant than otherwise. So if you want to chance it, you go. So we left. We couldn't sell the apartment, but we gave it to somebody who promised to get someone to help us to go through the frontier to leave Hungary. Just, we have to travel to a certain point near the border where we can meet him and the guide. He couldn't get a guide, we went a bit nearer to the border, and we stayed with a very nice family for one night or two nights, and they managed to get someone who came with us. I don't know how many hours. We left Hungary about 6 o'clock when it was a bit dark. And we had to walk until 4 o'clock in the morning on ice and snow and snow and ice. And about midnight he said, you see the light over there? It's already Austria. You just walk straight and you will be in Austria in no time. As we started walking, we were captured by the Hungarians, and they said, turn back. I said, I can't walk any further. If you give me transport, I go wherever you like. But I'm not leaving from here. We still had some money and cigarettes, and we had some cakes from the family. And I said, look, here is the money, here is the cigarette, and let's enjoy this cake, it's Christmas now.